Welcome. Today I will be interviewing Mr. Alan W. Bell. He is the president of Globe Risk International and is an expert in international counterterrorism. Mr. Bell has over 22 years of UK Special Forces military experience related to global terrorist and security issues. He specializes in integrating security programs and training in order to prevent, minimize, and proactively prepare for security and terrorism-related risks. As the president of Globe Risk International, I'd like to welcome you, Mr. Bell. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
I'd like to begin by asking you the following questions. I'd like you to discuss the significance of your security management consultancy firm in providing security, risk management, and specialized training, along with logistic services to clients. In addition, please discuss the significance of taking part in crisis management planning, contingency planning, regional analysis, operation site planning, exploration support, and crisis intervention services.
Thank you. GRI brings a unique perspective to the security industry, primarily because our backgrounds and our training. Quite a few members of my company have actually been trained as terrorists. So with the state of the world at the moment, obviously there's a lot of call for all types of services. So consequently, we plan our operations like the same way the terrorists plan. So that gives us an interesting perspective to be able to plan to defend against people like ourselves. So that's what we offer our clients, is that uniqueness of we know what terrorists do, how they think, how they operate. So consequently, who better to advise you on how to protect yourself, your people, and your facilities?
Absolutely. As a distinguished expert with over 22 years of experience in the UK Special Forces military, you have an immense amount of expertise related to global terrorist and security issues. What are some of the biggest areas of concern in terms of terrorist and security issues happening today?
One of my major concerns is the fact that terrorism, very few people know, and they make no effort to find out, because this is Canada and we don't have terrorism in Canada yet. So therefore, people tend not to engage with those types of things. There's a general consensus throughout governments, both provincial and federal, and emergency services in general, whose responsibility is to respond to these types of things, regarding how to plan to respond to these events. And this is one of the major impediments that we have. The October 2014 attack against Parliament was a clear indication of how non-existent our planning, preparation, response to what could have been an extremely black day in the life of Canadian history. If this had been a concerted effort to attack Parliament by a well-trained, well-equipped terrorist group, such as the Mumbai attack, and they had sufficient ammunition, weapons, etc., to be able to perpetrate this attack, they would massacre, possibly, a lot of parliamentarians. And yet we, now 12 months further forward, we've done virtually nothing. They say this thing's been done behind the scenes. I know differently. The report that's supposed to have been written after the attack on Parliament is still in its draft stage, and by the time all the interested parties have taken bits out of it, this report was written independently, but when it comes out as a final draft, if it's like other reports, most of our mistakes will have been erased, and they will use the word security. We've got to think of security, so therefore we took a lot of these bits and pieces out. Unfortunately, complacency and adopting the Dunine and repress syndrome will not protect us from future terrorist attacks. And yet, after an attack, we effectively move into the response, reactionary response mode, where we throw millions and millions of dollars at various different agencies. We have no idea, and they have no idea how to spend this money. They haven't really thought through the programs, etc., etc. So we're basically wasting money when preparation and pre-sort of planning would have definitely prevented some of the things that have occurred. And we never seem to learn from those type of events.
Certainly. In terms of preparation, what next step should Parliament take in order to protect itself? I know in the conference that we both attended, you were one of the main guest speakers at the conference that was held at the McKenzie Institute at University of Toronto's Victoria College Chapel. You mentioned that Canada is not prepared for another terrorist attack, specifically a major terrorist attack. What would have happened had 10 terrorists gone to Parliament with 10 AK-47s? The outcome would have been fatal.
The fact is, it's something we do not perceive to be an issue. About 5 years ago, I was asked to look at the security in the Senate. And what surprised me when I did this was the fact we had two independent security organizations, one for the Senate and one for Parliament. And I thought that was very strange. Also, both those security entities are controlled separately, so there's no interaction between those two entities. Likewise, there's no interaction, or very little interaction, between the RCMP and the Ottawa Police. So RCMP theoretically aren't supposed to respond to anything at Parliament. They protect the grounds, and that's where you see all the presence of the RCMP. You don't see Ottawa Police. However, the Ottawa Police are responsible. So, and they rarely train between each other. They definitely can't communicate with each other because they have different communication systems. So this has been like this for many, many years, and nothing has happened. When I was talking to the people in the Senate, I said, why aren't you just one parliamentary security team, which are armed? Which is the other interesting thing, is because parliamentarians said that we don't need to have armed people in Parliament because it's the type of facility that it is. But the Senate believe the opposite. They believe we need armed people to protect us. So are we going to go to an armed security, private security team? I don't know yet, because it's only a year after, and it'll take about 3 years before they'll come to that decision. And in the meantime, we've got to hope that we don't get attacked again. But we always do things after the event. I mean, I've been in Canada now over 20 years, and it amazes me how we have a warning or how an incident occurs, and then we're so slow to respond to it in terms of how we're going to deal with the next one, because we firmly believe there's not going to be a next one. Well, obviously, there's going to be. And because of our government's decision to be more aggressive overseas and join most of these organizations that are fighting ISIS and all these other terrorist groups, we are attracting more attention from the bad guys in the world, and consequently, someone's going to come and take a look at us very shortly. We're one of the very few countries that hasn't been attacked by terrorists, which is rare. We anticipated this for many years, but it will come eventually. And the question is, will we be ready for it? From what I've seen and listened to and meetings I've been to date, we're not ready for a major terrorist attack.
Mr. Bell, you have trained close protection bodyguard teams for two kings, two presidents, and you have been involved in countering terrorism operations and training throughout the world. Please discuss your experience training some of these teams.
We do have a close protection. We have the ability to conduct close protection training and these services, and we have four or five major clients, which obviously I can't talk about, but these are major people around the world. One is a major religious leader. The other one is one of the wealthiest people in the world. And we deal with these individuals when they come to Canada. We don't work for them outside Canada. We only provide security services for them. Like myself, a lot of my guys have got extensive military training, and they have done this type of work in hostile environments and in war zones around the world. So once again, who better to help protect the VIP or as a senior executive than people who have actually done this for real and not just done the training and sort of focus most of their experiences within Canada, where A, they can't carry firearms, because private security can't carry firearms in Canada. And as I said, they've served in war zones, Afghanistan, Iraq, in Syria, Libya, and places like that. So who better to sort of provide those type of services? But as I said, that's not one of our main services. We mainly consult, and I try to steer away from boots and guns on the ground for most of our services. We will do the planning. We will do the concept of operations and everything else. And if we need armed individuals, we will usually go to another company who we have a joint venture with, and they will provide the weapons, the equipment, and the men to actually service those types of projects.
Certainly. Mr. Bell, on Thursday, October 15th and Friday, October 16th, you were invited to speak at the conference held at the McKenzie Institute at University of Toronto's Victoria College Chapel. I attended this conference as well. The conference was about resilient critical infrastructure and cybersecurity. Please discuss the significance and main purpose of this conference.
Well, with the McKinsey Institute being an independent, non-for-profit organization, they're responsible for providing strategic and a pragmatic approach to both domestic and national security matters. This conference was developed to ensure that individuals and agencies with responsibilities for critical infrastructure facilities were brought together to listen to domain expert speakers with significant knowledge in their own respective areas, while at the same time provide an opportunity to network for the attendees with other similar and like-minded agencies regarding how to handle these types of situations. The protection and security of critical infrastructure facilities has never been more important. Law enforcement agencies are charged with the protection of these types of facilities, yet most of the police services are totally unaware of what constitutes a critical infrastructure facility. There are numerous regions around Canada that don't even have critical infrastructure facilities identified, as well as what actions are to be taken in the event of a natural or a man-made incident against these types of facilities. It is vital that people or agencies who have responsibility for planning to protect and respond to critical infrastructure facilities have been made aware of the locations, what they're supposed to do, who they're supposed to contact, to ensure that they're not walking into an ambush of some sort, as a lot of these facilities are located in isolated locations.
Mr. Bell, during your presentation, you mentioned that you conducted some research, extensive research pertaining to terrorism and how easy it would be to plan an attack on Toronto, for example. Can you please discuss some of your findings and the research that you took part in regards to that plan?
During 2013, 14, and 15, I was fortunate to work for quite a lot of corporations in Canada, and as well as government agencies within Canada. And I got sick and tired of going to meetings and being basically told, why do we need to do this and why do we need to do that? Obviously, it frustrated me, and I thought, well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to see how easy it is to take an individual with actually no training, with no interest in terrorism, to find an individual like that who I could use to plan a terrorist attack against critical infrastructure facilities in Toronto. After I interviewed three people, two males and a female, when I decided on which individual it was going to be, I gave him a mission, and that mission was basically to identify critical infrastructure facilities in the downtown core and then make a plan of attacking the selected facility with causing maximum amount of damage to both people and the assets. This project took 8 months to complete. At the end of 8 months, we had a comprehensive plan to attack identified facilities. The interesting thing to note is, while this was taking place, we noticed other security deficiencies in a lot of the critical infrastructure facilities in the downtown core, which made us even more worried about and concerned about what's going on. This individual, as I said, had no training. I acted as a madrasa. In other words, I told him to go out and find targets. We then had a meeting, and I told him which targets to select. He told me. We explained the pros and cons of attacking those targets. He then decided on the method, the mode, and how we would attack these. Once again, I answered his questions. I didn't tell him how to do it, where to look, etc., etc. So himself, using the internet, which was also quite frightening because the information that he found out was on the internet. And a lot of these critical infrastructure facilities have websites which give you all the information that a potential terrorist would be able to use against them if they decided to attack them. So we ended up with a report which I called Operation Arabis. This report was for my use only. No one gets to see this report because obviously it's a plan to attack Toronto, and I would never be stupid enough to give that to anybody. So that is about the only thing. Now, I will discuss that operation with certain agencies, but they will not see the plan and how we did it. So that's basically how we did it. So I was surprised how easy it was. If this had gone ahead as a terrorist attack for real, I have no doubt that the individual who planned it would have had no problems destroying not only the critical infrastructure, but hundreds of people would have died as a result of his efforts to try to put this together, which poses another question. If he can do it,
anyone can do.
Anybody can do it, and that's what I wanted to prove to myself. So now when I go to these meetings, I have a firm example of why they should listen to the fact that terrorism is an issue, and these organizations, as well as government agencies, need to sit down and listen.